Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor House, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
No, I am doing well by God's grace.
Lovely. Great, man. Great to hear that. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Now, we're talking about teaching children the power of forgiveness. I think it's a very important topic. And I do welcome those who are joining us on the line on the radio. Do make sure that you contribute as you feel important. We'd like to hear what your views are here on this particular conversation. Now, forgiveness is also one of the hardest things for people to do. When we've been wronged, giving up the negative emotions we feel towards those who have done wrong to us is the last thing we want to do. But as adults, we know it's important for our own well-being, even if it is hard. But how do we teach such an important and difficult thing to children? Now, in this conversation with Pastor Hose, we are going to discuss the steps that parents can take in teaching this important value and skill to their children. Now, Pastor, what does it mean to forgive someone, and what does it not mean?
Okay. Thank you. It's a very important topic, you know, especially if we consider within our Christian context and our understanding of what the Word of God teaches us about forgiveness, it becomes important to understand it. And I think it has become such a, or it not has become, I think it's been difficult throughout the ages, because when we talk about forgiveness, inherent, we recognize that something wrong was done. There's an injustice that took place. And we know that when injustice takes place, and, you know, oftentimes it's because of the inability to have the power to make right or to protect yourself or something to that, then something happens and there's strong feelings that that emanate from that. And so when we talk about forgiveness, sometimes it's used by those who need to be forgiven as a manipulation in order to satisfy their conscience. And I think that's where the difficulty lies, is, you know, do we want to forgive somebody who we feel doesn't deserve it or something? Are we expected to just forgive even when the person is continuing in, you know, the way in which they work towards us and feel towards us, all these things. So I thought about, you know, let's just talk about forgiveness just quickly. What is it? What is it not? And you know, in the clinical term, or if you think about it in the world of psychiatry, and again, this is not my speciality, but you know, you have some training in it, and you've been exposed to some. So just the general definition when it comes to forgiveness is that, you know, it's a conscious decision by a person to let go of the feelings, the strong feelings such as resentment, vengeance, you know, the need to take revenge on what has been done. It's letting go of those feelings and an act of giving entirely that is under the control of the forgiver. So when we talk about forgiveness in this context, it's something that happens purely with the one that forgives, that takes a conscious decision to let go of this negativity. And we can talk about the processes in that. But that's in short a definition. And it does not require any, you know, dialogue with the wrongdoer. It's not something that you sit opposite the person and you work through things and then you forgive. So in this context, it's purely something that you, wherever you are, perhaps with your therapist, perhaps in your own, you decide, I'm going to forgive this person, I'm going to let go of these feelings. Now, within the Christian, even within the Judaism, there's another element to forgiveness. And that is that there is also a relational element in that it says, forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And here we see that forgiveness gets another element to it. It is not just something that is located in a person in isolation that takes a conscious decision, but that there's another dynamic to it, understanding that we have been forgiven. So there's more flesh to forgiveness than just something that happens perhaps in the psyche of a person. And, you know, even if we talk about forgiveness in these two senses, it depends largely, or it doesn't depend on the degree or the willingness of the other person to make amends for their deeds. And the power of forgiveness in this clinical context, if you can put it like that, is that you move a person away from these strong emotions into a space where, you know, they can move a little bit under the weight of being victim. So it's still an important part to recognize that there is a conscious decision that can be taken irrespective of the other person's willingness or the degree of willingness to make right. And that's important in terms of forgiveness, just to have that movement away from revenge or seeking revenge. So let's pause there for a moment to just recognize that there is different understanding around forgiveness. And with the Christian context, when you talk about forgiveness, it is not just located in the person, but it says, stand a little bit back, look at the bigger picture. There is more that has come before, and there's more expected moving forward than just letting go of strong feelings. Forgiveness also has an act to it that allows for the other person again to make right or give the opportunity to make right, which is essential also for that person's salvation.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that a little bit later.
Now, we often teach children to say sorry when they hurt someone or do something wrong. But what makes an apology feel sincere? Because a child will say, okay, sorry. And you say, no, say it like a minute. And they again say sorry, and they're not happy about it in the face. What makes an apology feel sincere? And I think in adulthood, many have heard complain that they still are very angry because that apology was not sincere. So please talk to us about that.
Yeah, you see, that is very difficult, because how do you measure sincerity? And I think that's where apology or forgiveness, you know, it's two different things. forgiveness is purely located in the sense that I'm letting go, irrespective of what, if you deserve it, if you don't deserve it. This is something that is between, if we take it to the Christian context, this is something that happens between myself and the Lord. He gives me the strength in order to let go. And then when we talk about an apology, that is something that is now a next step. And then I think where it becomes difficult for children, and to make it simple, is to teach our children that apology and true forgiveness in the broader sense is something that's accompanied by action. So it is where the words and the deeds align. So a verbal apology is only as good as a cessation from doing what was wrong, or making right. You know, I'm sorry for stealing your 10 rand, okay? But then next week, the 10 rand is gone again. Then the measurement of that sincerity or the apology, you know, is actually in the deed. And so I think a simple way to measure it or to teach our children about what a true apology means, what it means to really seek for forgiveness, is that our words and our deeds align, that there's a repentance that accompanies. And that is also an element within the Christian concept of forgiveness that you won't necessarily find within other spheres, is that it's accompanied by a turning away from doing this. It's that forgiveness enables the person also to turn away, or expects that, if we can put it in those words. So in short, I would say when word and deeds align, so the apology aligns with the actions that follow afterwards.
Now, you know, this the deeds and the words is sometimes very difficult to really synchronize the two, because one would do something wrong and hurt someone and apologize about it, and then they do it again, but at some point later, and they apologize again, and they then do it again, and now the one who keeps forgiving then is tired of forgiving. He says, no, but you always apologize about this, which means that you don't mean the apology. Isn't there work of repentance a process as well? That a person, yes, may be able to hurt this particular individual, but they're trying because it's also a weakness of theirs that they're working on.
And I think that is where we also just need to pause. It's such a broad context. So we need to realize we are now talking here about a child just not doing what the parent asked or something like that, because there's deeper things that we can also address, you know, when safety is concerned, when it's clearly a person that's a predator or something. You do not expect the same kind of engagement that you would expect of a child. You know, if it's somebody that is a bully at school, you're not going to have the same necessary approach. And when the child is with his sibling just in a tiff, you know, you have to gauge as well what is safe for this child. And I think that is sometimes where we err, as coming to the Christian context again. It doesn't mean that I have to invite. And I know this is a family, so let me use a word that might not trigger or anything like that. I should not invite the monster into my house because I've forgiven him. Does that make sense? Forgiveness, and I think this comes back to that thing of it's something that is worked within the person with the Lord, but that doesn't mean that now moving forward, I need to keep on borrowing 10 rand, 10 rand, 10 rand, and the person keeps on stealing, keeps on stealing. It's not an enabling disposition that we take. It in fact also can help us to draw the boundaries, to safeguard ourselves. It doesn't mean that you have to accept everything from the person when you do forgive. And I think that is important to understand in this discussion that it's a complex thing. I don't know if I've answered your question completely. I do have some notes here about, you know, just there's another concept that is called exoneration. One of the therapists developed it, a Jewish therapist. He speaks about forgiveness, but then he also adds an element of exoneration, because he says we live in a relational context, and sometimes it is necessary to create that space for a person to make right what they have made wrong, you know, where children have done something wrong to their parents or parents to their children. That is such a significant relationship that you would always like to leave a little bit of space, hope, for a child to make right again. And that make right is not to buy the favor or anything. But let me read just a short quote on this, just to illustrate. He says, when he did this, he created the space for children to truly engage their parents on when there has been an injustice in the relationship. He says he believes that the clients who show the most improvement in therapy are not the clients who are able to forgive their parents, but the clients who are willing to learn enough about their parents' life to understand the origins of their detrimental behaviors, and then based on that are able to exonerate them. So just with forgiveness, being able to put this in the Lord's hands so that he can give you strength in order to say, but you know, where does this come from? From my parents. It's also a very deep context, because there's been a lot of hurt in this world, and to just say it in this space without being able to like expound on it might leave more questions than answers. But I do think just recognizing the fact that we need to realize that this is something that requires more than we have within us. Mm. And I think that's where Christianity adds to this discussion, in that it says you do not have to do it in your own power.
True.
The forgiveness is something that has first been shown to you, the grace that has been extended to you. Understanding that gives you a perspective that allows for this forgiveness process to come to a point where there's an actual exoneration that takes place, where relationships can be healed irrespective of the weight that has been placed on it.
Now, in terms of benefits, who benefits from forgiveness?
Yeah, you know, there's that saying, to not forgive is like cutting off your nose to spite your face, or drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And I think that is where with forgiveness, it is the forgiver that benefits initially. But because we have a deeper sense of what forgiveness is, by being in that space where you are able to ask, but, you know, why was my mother like this? What was given to her by her mother? What context does she come from? Then allows you to enter into a space where you can perhaps help heal within her relationships, because you do not carry this weight. You have given it to the Lord. You have put it in a place where the Lord says, you know, cast your burdens unto me. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy and light, you know. Those type of things are all in the context of, then it becomes, you're in a space that allows you to not only heal yourself or be in a position where you heal, but also create hope for somebody else to heal, even if it is, let's say, in inverted commas, the monster who is in desperate need of God's grace as well. So, short answer, the forgiver benefits in the process of forgiveness, but that benefit is able to extend to the one that needs forgiveness.
Beautiful one. Now, Pastor, before I let you go, what are some creative ways to teach children about forgiveness?
Preparing for this, I asked a couple of friends and colleagues, and it was quite interesting to see the expressions on their faces. That's a difficult question, but you know, we can make it difficult, or we can just make it easy to show them forgiveness. How is our body language when the child has done something wrong? What's the tone that we take when we try to teach them, show them, you know, this is what it has done to our relationship, you know, trust. When you lie to me, it is not that I'm angry that you have lied. It is that I have lost something. I have lost the ability to trust my child, to trust my husband, to trust my wife. And that's a deep existential hurt that is created above, you know, just losing your pen or 10 rands or something like that. That's actually what's at stake when we talk about the need for forgiveness. So I think, in short, it would be to show them the disposition of forgiveness. And you can only do that. We do not have it in ourselves. That is something that is a gift from the Lord. That is something that, as we spend time in the Word of God, as we spend time in prayer and meditation, and His greatness, His goodness, His sacrifice is shown towards us, and we recognize that this is unmerited favor, that we have done nothing to deserve this, then it changes our hearts to be able to come into a space where we are able to give some of that also in our relationships. And I think that would be my encouragement to us as parents is, do not teach them by word about apology, forgiveness. Show them in deed and talk, body language, tone of voice, all of these things will feed into how they one day understand the concept of forgiveness.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Because you will disappoint your children at some stage.
Yes, true.
You will be in need of their forgiveness at some stage. And it would be good then to have a house of mercy and grace rather than something else.
Very profound indeed. And I think we can leave it there, my pastor. Thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to talk
to you. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. I always appreciate this opportunity. God bless the ministry.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.